Welcome to the Father State. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you all so much for being with me. Remember, you can support the Father State by going to thefatherstate.tv/donate and locals in the description there, locals.com. And I do appreciate it. Thank you for helping us with our work. I have with me Buck Angel. He is a sex educator and former adult film star. Buck, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Jesse. I appreciate you guys reaching out.
Absolutely. What is an adult educator?
Well, so basically what, for the people who don't know out there, I'm a transsexual man, so I was born female and I transitioned to live my life as a male. So what my sex education is about basically is more geared towards transsexual men. And I educate around how to, you know, have sex with our new bodies and how to sort of navigate the world sexually, because, you know, we're not men. We want to look like men, but we're not men. So with the absence of those types like genitals, we have to learn to sort of navigate the world. So my sex education is geared more towards basic transsexual male community.
Amazing. And so you teach them how to have sex without having a female body part?
That's exactly right. So what I try to do is to sort of try to help them navigate through not having surgery to put a penis on, because that surgery doesn't work. So I try to help them to navigate the fact that, you know, sometimes you just don't get everything you want. And sometimes you got to figure out in the world how to navigate through that. So it's a way for me to help them not basically want to do that surgery and to just live a life with a situation that isn't easy sometimes, but sex, I believe sex is important for everyone. And if you choose to have it, you should be able to do it in a way that makes you happy and less focused on, you know, my genitals or this.
And you mentioned that you were born female, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
Then you decided at some point you wanted to be a male.
Yes.
So you never had the sex change from female to male.
So
body part.
That's right. That gets a little bit sort of like, I guess really what that means, the sex change is it's really up to you.
Right.
I believe that I did have a sex change on some level, because nobody would ever know that I used to be a female other than if I took my clothes off and got naked in front of you. But that's more of a personal space, right? So that's the other thing I teach. I have to be honest to you if I'm going to be a sexual partner, that I'm not a man. I'm a transsexual man. So I don't have a penis. And so, yeah, I had a sex change enough to be able to walk the world comfortable, but I did not do the penis surgery.
Okay. And being born a female, what made you want to change to a male?
Yeah. Well, you know, I have something that's called gender dysphoria, and it's a mental disorder that I was diagnosed with 31 years ago. And because of my mental disorder, my outside – my outside didn't fit my inside. So I'm still a biological female. That will never change.
Right.
But my outside represents a male space. So when I walk the world, you see me as a man. I don't have to do my pronoun pins. I don't have to explain to you. You'll just see me as Buck. So on some level, I was diagnosed with my disorder, and I fixed it by using surgery and hormones to look like a man. I did that 31 years ago.
So how old are you now?
I'm 61.
Really? And
yeah.
So why not just change your mental state of being rather than changing your body?
It's a great question. And I did try. Again, being 61, I transitioned at the age of 30.
Right.
I lived my life as a female up until the age of 30 as a gay woman. You know, I navigated the world as a very masculine woman, but it didn't work out for me. So I really did try to do that. But, you know, I'm so much more comfortable. I created everything I created as a transsexual person because I'm more comfortable in my body, and I can walk the world much more happy and free. And, you know, being transsexual isn't my identity, by the way. It's just my medical condition. I don't identify as a transsexual person.
Now you identify as a man or a female?
A man. I identify as a man.
Okay.
So the whole point was me.
When you say you tried to change your mental state of being, what did you do exactly?
massive amount of therapy. So I probably, before I transitioned, I had to go through 2 years of therapy before I could even think about taking hormones. And prior to that, I was doing a lot of therapy, going to see, counselors. I had an addiction to alcohol and drugs for many years. Now I'm 30 years sober, but I had a lot of problems going on with me, and I had to sort of fix those problems. And on the way, part of it was my gender dysphoria and trying to sort of navigate the world. I would have never done this if I could have continued to live as a butch female. I would have not, but I couldn't. It just wasn't working out for me. And so this became the way that I'm the happiest person to walk the world.
When you would go to therapy and counseling, and what would they do in those sessions to change your mental state?
Yeah, great question. So remember how long ago I transitioned, and nope, there was very few people like me 30 years ago, and we didn't discuss it and it wasn't talked about. So really, my therapist didn't even have a lot of background on how to deal with me. She was a gay woman and I was a gay woman at the time. So she just discussed with me, what do you mean you feel like a man? What does that mean? It was great because she pushed back on me a lot. And she said, well, I don't understand what you mean by feeling like a man. And that's when I started to say, well, you're right. I don't even know what that means to feel like a man. I still don't even know what that means. But that being said, we discussed for 2 years, we just discussed why I feel this way, how I would be much happier, why I don't feel comfortable in this skin. So it was pretty much, therapy is a very important part of my life. I still go to therapy every week. But
Really?
that being said, my therapist just kept pushing me to make sure that after 2 years of doing that, I was going to make the right choice. That's why it's very important that a person like me goes through extensive mental health care before they even make this choice.
So while in therapy, though, all they did was just talk about the problem. They just talked about why you feel the way, but they never gave you any solutions.
Well, this is the solution on some level because my dysphoria went away. I don't feel dysphoric anymore. I don't feel scared to walk the world. I don't feel uncomfortable to go into situations. I don't feel uncomfortable sitting here talking to you. Before, I couldn't even talk. I was so shy and disconnected from the world. And, I had a drug problem, an alcohol problem. I would take razor blades and cut my arms up, and I was a mess. I was a total mess. And
What
so,
a
no, we
mess.
also. Yeah, it was a mess. And we got really deep into why, like my childhood, were there things that happened? I mean, she really dug deep into to maybe some kinds of trauma that I dealt with. And but I really had a great childhood. I don't want it to come
Yeah,
off
you
that
had a
way.
great childhood, cutting your arm and getting drunk and high.
No, that was actually the worst part, but that wasn't my childhood. That was my mid-adult space. That was not
Why did you
childhood.
become an alcoholic and cutting yourself and all that drug habit? What made you become that?
That's right. So because I think I was hiding this, what you see here. So, I was walking the world as a woman and people saw me as a woman and I wasn't comfortable. So I would drink, smoke weed, snort cocaine, whatever you could put in front of my face, I would take it. So I didn't have to see the world. And I don't do that anymore. I have no desire to do that. I'm a very happy human. And so the alcohol and drugs came through my depression of being this way and my dysphoria. It sort of helped me not see you, and it helped me not have to deal with my problems.
Amazing. And so do you still have counseling now? You say you're still in counseling, right?
Yes,
And why are you
we're.
still in counseling if you're a man?
Well, it's such a nuanced question, right? Especially what you see today. I'm not a man. I always say that. I'm very honest to you. I don't have anything to hide from you. I'm a biological female, but I prefer that you see me as a man, and I prefer that you say he. But you know what? If you're gonna call me she, it just I'm so I'm so old, and I so don't care. It's just not important to me. But that being said, I just feel comfortable looking and feeling like a man. And most people
But why are
always
you
see me.
still in counseling, though?
Oh,
Why
I'm
are
in
you?
counseling. I'm in counseling because, other things come along, and other, life in itself is difficult sometimes. And also, I'm in counseling because I also deal with a lot of hate. I don't know if you know that. I deal with a lot of hate online from the transgender community. I get said things that just you wouldn't even believe it. And I'm a person who transitioned 31 years ago. I'm on some level a pioneer in transitioning. Yet the generation of trans people are very mean and disconnected and not like me at all in any way. So, you know, my therapy helps me deal with life and helps me deal with my work and all the hate that I get every day.
And so the transgender people don't like the fact that you are a man, or they don't like the fact you say you're a woman, but yet a man.
That's right. You hit it. They don't like that I connect to my biology. I'm a biological female. You can't change your sex. That is ridiculous. And every transsexual person knows that. You can't. It's this new trans space that's trying to say in nonsensical things. I will never lie to you. I have no reason to lie to you.
Instead of being a man on the outside, yeah, why not just be a heavy lesbian?
Yeah, I tried. Like I said earlier, I tried for 20 years. I tried to live as a gay woman.
Really?
Yeah, it just didn't work.
That's amazing. So I want to just talk about this for a minute. When you were born, a girl.
Yes.
And so growing up as a little girl, did you feel like a guy when you were a little girl?
Yes. I was what we call a tomboy.
And what did a guy feel like? When you felt like a guy, what was that feeling?
It's a great question. I don't have a clue, but
you felt like a guy then?
I didn't think I felt like a guy. I wanted to be a guy. So feeling is different. I don't know today you could ask me, what does it mean to feel like a man? I don't know. I have no idea what it means. I know what it means for me to want to be a man and want the world to see me. So when I was a little kid, I was a tomboy. I played with only boys. I hated girl stuff. So, you know, that was the thing that was the feeling. The feeling was to be around other boys and to sort of be accepted as a boy. That's where I felt really happy as a kid. I always hated being with my sisters or Barbie dolls or, you know, anything. I had a G.I. Joe and I played with the dudes. So it's a good question. And I think anybody who's in my position who can answer that is being disingenuous to you, because you can't answer that question.
So what I don't quite understand, since you still identify as a woman on the inside, you say you're a woman, but on the outside, you made yourself look like a man.
Right.
Why are you saying you're a woman?
I don't say I'm a woman.
Oh, you don't say it?
No. Oh, I identify as a man, but I am a biological female. Identity and biology are two different things.
Oh, I got
my identification is male. My ID says male. Everything I walk the world as male. On some level, I had a sex change, even though it's impossible to change your sex. So my identification is male, but I'm being honest to you and to the world that I did not have a sex change. I just changed my appearance.
When you were growing up, teenage life and younger life, did you date guys or girls?
No, never.
You dated girls?
I was very attracted to women.
Oh, I see. You never dated a guy?
Never.
Never. Oh, okay.
And so so that's the other thing is I was struggling, I think, with my sexuality at the time. You know, I grew up in the 70s and the 80s when you didn't talk about being gay, especially as a woman. And I was an athlete. So that was like double, you know, I'm like a butch athlete girl. It's like, you know what I mean? Stereotypical lesbian. That was me.
Amazing. Were you raised by your father and mother?
Yes, I have a very solid family upbringing.
Mm-hmm. And so your father and mother, are they still together?
Yes. They've been married 67 years now.
And you have brothers and sisters as well?
Two sisters. I have an older sister and a younger sister. I'm the middle.
Okay. And so when you realized you felt this way about being a guy, and you went and told your mother, what did she say?
Well, so what happened was I became such a drug addict and alcoholic that my family disowned me for about 3 years.
At what age?
I think I was about 25.
Okay.
And I was acting out. I would call them at 3 a.m. asking them for money for my phone bill, but it was really for crack because I was smoking crack and acting insane. Anyway, they just disconnected from me, which was perfect. After 3 years, I got sober. And in my sobriety, one of the things you do is called making amends. And you call all the people who you hurt or and I did. I called my mom one day and I said, hey, mom. And she goes, who's this? this? I'm like, it's Buck. And she's like, what? We thought we would never see you again. And I'm like, well, I got sober. She's like, wow. And then I said to my mom, I have something to tell you. And she said, well, your voice sounds weird. And I said, okay, well, that's what I'm going to tell you. I started to take testosterone, and now I'm having what we used to call a sex change. And it was very silent for a minute. And my mom was like, you know, if that's the thing that's going to keep you alive, we love you and we miss you. And that's all we ever wanted for you. And that was the sort of connection that I reconnected with my parents. And, you know, 30 years later, I'm solid with my parents. I have an amazing relationship.
And so up until that point of being 25 and you calling, they didn't know that you were feeling this way from a childhood up to that point.
Well, yeah. When I was 16, they had to send me to a psychologist because I was very much not wanting to live. And I was doing bad things to myself and I was disconnected. And they sent me to a psychiatric ward. My parents knew I was struggling, but they didn't know I was struggling with dysphoria. They thought I was struggling with my sexuality. So nobody back in – that was in the 70s. And nobody could help me on any level. They didn't even know what was wrong with me.
Right. And so when you told your father, what did he say?
Well, my mom was super cool about it, but my dad, he wasn't cool with it. Because, you know, my dad even had a hard time with me being a gay woman. My dad is, you know, my dad's Canadian. Not that that means anything, but he's, you know, very straight-laced and very, you know, he just doesn't understand any of that, nor did he want to. And that's okay. But eventually being around, so I made an appearance at my parents' house as much as I could so that they could see me and I could, you know, and he would continue to call me the girl name and she. And I'm like, Dad, look at me. If we're at Costco and you call me she, people are going to think you're nuts. So eventually my dad just sort of settled into it and he saw what a better person I am and my sobriety and creating my businesses and being very successful in life. And
so let me ask this though. So like, before he found out at 25 that you were doing this thing, right? Yeah. He knew you were a lesbian before that?
Yes.
Like when you were in the home growing up, he knew you were a lesbian?
I think so.
But you never discussed it with him.
Yes, I did. I said, you know, I remember this time my parents were like, what's wrong with you? They were sat me down and they were so concerned with what was wrong with me. And I said, I'll never forget. I said to my parents, I said, I feel like a man. I don't feel like a woman. And that was the first time I had ever really said that. And I equated it to gay. I did not equate it to being, you know, transsexual because I didn't even know that you could do what I did. So that was the first time I sort of said that to them.
And so when your father, at 25, when your father saw that you had done all this, what did he say?
He didn't really understand. My father said, I will try to accept you, but I'm not sure if I can.
And what did your sisters say?
Oh, they were all cool about it. They were like, oh, we always knew you were like this. It's like, my sisters were super great. They did not have an issue with it. And my older sister was a police officer for 30 years. And my younger sister is a business owner. So they're very in the just regular world, if that makes sense. But no, my sisters were very accepting. It was my father who had the hardest time with it.
Right. And why do you think it's easier for women to accept wrongdoing than men?
I don't know. I think it's just maybe it's a mother. I don't think women in general. I think mothers have a different connection to their children than fathers do. Now, I'm not saying one is better than the other. I just think it's a different connection. You know, I'm also a dad. I have a son, 11-year-old son. And my
partner. So you had a baby?
No, my partner did. Yeah, my wife. Yes, she had a baby.
And so when you were growing up, you were closer to your mother or your father?
My father.
You were closer to your father than your mother?
Yes, very much so.
And how did you feel about your mother growing up?
Oh, I love my mom. She was always fine, you know, but you have those things about your mom that, you know, just normal kid things. But my dad was like
what for an example?
For example, my mom would say, go take out the trash. And I'd be like, shut up. And she'd be like, you're going to talk to me like that? Your dad is coming home right now. So it was just some stuff. It wasn't really, I didn't dislike my mom.
But she would get on your nerve at times?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And totally.
And when you were asking your father to help you deal with her, how, did he help you deal with your mother?
I didn't really ask him that at all.
You Why
know,
not?
My father, I don't know. I just don't know. I think, you know, I grew up in a household that was very much about supposed to be having respect for your parents. And yeah. so by saying F you to my mom, that took my dad. He came home from work. He did. And I got nailed. And I never did it again. I grew up in a
you
very
said
disciplined.
F you to your mother?
I did. I
and,
did.
And your father punished you for that?
Yes.
Why didn't
I
he
never
punish
said
your
again.
Mother? Why didn't he punish your mother for making you say that?
I don't think that was the case. I think my dad made me take responsibility for it, not my mother.
Why not so your mother?
Sorry?
Why not your mother? Because it was a sign that something had gone wrong with you and your mother. Why didn't your father correct her rather than you?
Well, because I believe that it was more about me, and that was the situation. I should have never said that, and I should have never disrespected my mother, and that's what my dad said to me. Don't you ever disrespect your mother like that, ever again.
But if you're mad at her, how is that disrespect to say F you?
The words. Are you kidding? If my if my son ever said F you to my partner, or even me, all hell would break loose in this
so
house.
So you would treat your son the way your father treated you when you
When
dead.
It comes to certain disciplinary things, 100%.
But yep. If you do, he go be a lesbian.
Doubt it.
And so you were close to your father, you say, growing up, right? And what was you and your father relationship like?
Now, I wouldn't say close, if that makes sense. I think I more had a worshiping thing because I really felt this desire to be like him. You know, I wanted to be more male. I wanted to be this my dad was a professional athlete. So I wanted to be this way. Athletics was what kept me going. I was a high-ranking athlete as a female. And so I really excelled in athletics. And that was really a part of my childhood and growing up. We were all very athletic. And so I think it was more that I worshipped my dad, not so much that I had a great relationship with my dad. I did not necessarily have a great relationship.
And why not?
I think there was the schism there because I was a girl and I was very masculine. And I think my dad on some level could smell the homosexuality from me. And I think it was making him uncomfortable. And so, you know, it was a very, I wouldn't say tumultuous, but it was sort of like sometimes it was okay. If I was doing great in sports, I got accolades. But if I wasn't doing good in sports, I wouldn't. And there was a lot of mixed messages there, I think.
Did you ever conversate with him about the mixed messages and the way you felt around him, even
Oh, sure.
though you wanted to be around him? Did you ever tell him that, you know what, I don't feel close to you. I want to be close to you, but I feel like you don't like me, but you do like me, but you don't like. Did you have a conversation with him ever about that?
As a young person or now?
Well, before you, yeah, when you were
no,
young, growing
I did
up
not.
With him.
I could never have done that. I had no skills to do that. You know, I was not the person you see today. I didn't even know that I was feeling that way until later on in life. But I think, you know, mostly it was just about getting the sort of strokes, if that makes sense, the accolades from my dad and him being happy that I was winning all the races, that made me feel close to my dad.
Oh, I see. And so have you forgiven your mother for those little things that she would irritate you with?
Of course. I have such a beautiful, there is no residue. There is no residue from my childhood. And I'll tell you why, because I take responsibility for me. And however those situations dealt and came onto me and how I dealt with them, I don't blame my parents in any way, shape, or form at all. And so what I needed to do for myself was figure out why I was feeling this way.
So have you forgiven her for those little things that she would do to you while growing up?
Yep, sure
and
did.
And did you tell her that?
Yep, I sure did.
So you went to your mother and said what?
I said, Mom, I need to let you know that I want to tell you that you are a great mom and everything you did for me was amazing. And whatever happened to us as child and mother, I would like for us to move forward from that. And I don't blame you for anything. Nothing.
So you didn't forgive her for screwing you up?
She didn't screw me up. Nope, she did not screw me up. Nobody screwed me up.
Did you forgive your father for having that little distance between the two of you when you
of
really
course.
Wanted to be close?
Yeah, of course I did.
You
know,
told,
let me say something.
You
As
told
a
him
parent,
that?
Yeah, my parents know. I forgive. I told my parents one day, I said, I do not blame you for anything. Anything you see here or what you think, it is not you.
So
it
when
is
you
all
went
me.
To your father to forgive him, what did you
yes.
say to him?
I said, Dad, this none of this is you. It's not your fault that I'm this way. None of it. None of it. You are young parents, first off, struggling how to raise a family of three kids. I can't even imagine. I have one. So, you know, I really am a person who takes responsibility for my own actions. And I'm not going to say that things don't happen when you're growing up, but I really believe as an adult, you have to start to work on those things. And I worked a lot on my mental health and who I am. And I'm, you know, I don't blame anybody at all for where I'm at today.
Do you believe that you become like what you hate?
I love men. What are you talking about?
No, I ask you, do you believe that you become like what you hate?
Do I become like what you hate? No, I don't believe that.
Why not?
Because I don't feel that way. So I can only answer that question for myself.
If you were not angry at your father trying to get his love and his attention, do you think you would have gotten that feeling of wanting to be like a man had you not been angry at your father?
No, I do not believe that. It took me years to come to terms with why I feel this way. And it's called gender dysphoria. It's an actual real mental disorder that a lot of people get. A lot of people who come from families that never happened have gender dysphoria is a very small disorder. It's not what you see today. All of the people who are trans are not like me. It's a whole other – it's why it's dangerous because this is very, very rare what you see. It's not – it's not something that hundreds of thousands of people have. It's not. It's always been rare, and it always will be rare.
How did your mother feel about your father while you were growing up?
Oh, you know, my parents, again, being married 67 years, they had a close relationship. I mean, I grew up in a really basic family. I don't think there was anything abnormal in my family, to be honest with you.
So how did your mother feel about your father?
I never really asked.
You can tell, you can sense how she felt about him.
Loves my father.
When you were growing up, while growing up, how did she feel about him?
Loves my father. All I ever heard was good things about my father from my mother.
And so how did your father feel about her?
Loves my mother. All
so
I ever heard was good things.
So when they were fighting one another at times, that was love?
Yeah, fighting is love.
So when your mother and father were fighting, you call that love?
Of course, depends on the kind of fighting you're talking about. Arguments. I'm talking about arguments. Arguments are love. That happens in every. If your marriage isn't having arguments, I kind of feel like something's not right there. We're human beings before we're partners.
And so, how can argument be love?
Because you're disagreeing.
But how is that love?
Because you're being honest.
How is that love?
Love is honesty.
Amazing. And so you can't be honest unless you're arguing?
No, you picked out a specific thing. Love is a lot of things in a relationship. It's not one thing. It's not dominance and submission. It's equal. And love is respecting another person enough to say, I don't like what you're doing right now, and I would like to have a conversation about that.
So
that's love to me.
As a kid, when you would see your mother and father arguing, you would think to yourself as a kid, oh, they love one another.
As a kid, you don't know that. No.
What
as an adult,
think,
I do.
What would you think about them arguing at the time when you were young?
I mean, of course, sometimes it would make you uncomfortable, for sure.
In
There's
what
no
way?
Doubt about it. Well, like, because you don't understand what they're arguing about. At 10 years old, you don't understand what they're arguing about. You think my son at 11 understands what we're arguing about? No, but
and
we don't do it in front of him.
And when your father would go off to work and your mother would talk to you about your father and the arguments and stuff like that, what would she say? And explaining it to you, what would she say?
She didn't do that.
She never explained to you
that.
Why they were arguing?
Nope.
Why not?
Nope. Why? I'm 10. Why would she tell me that? It's not my business.
But you at some point, you're 12, 13, 14, 15, 18. Why did she tell you that?
Well, I can't think of an I can't think of an instance that she did that, to be honest with you. I don't think she ever did do that, to be honest.
And why
I don't think
not?
so. I don't know. I never asked, but I'll ask her.
Amazing.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Give me the shirt. Come on. I ain't killed it a lot. Let's go. Come on. One shirt.
Jetsy! Jetsy!
What in the world going on out here?
All these people are here for the merch, but we're sold out.
They're here for the merch?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. The merch is amazing.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
The merch is amazing.
Were you raised Christian?
Yes, Baptist.
Are you a Christian now?
No, I'm Jewish.
Oh, you a Jew?
Yes.
You always been a Jew?
No, I was raised Baptist.
Oh, but you don't look like a Jew.
But what does a Jew look like?
I don't know.
That's right. What are you? Are you religious?
I'm Christian. But let
you
me
don't look
ask
like
this.
A Christian.
Were you? I'm sorry?
I said, you don't look like a Christian. What does a Christian look like?
Black. But let me ask you this. Were your father and mother were Christians while you were growing up?
Yes. My father, not so much. My father never went to church with us. It was only with my mother.
Amazing. And why did your father go to church?
He didn't want to go, so he didn't have to go. That's how it was. We didn't question it.
Amazing. Do you believe that human beings are in a fallen state?
Do I believe human beings are in a excuse
fallen
me?
State? My show is called
Yes. Yes, I do.
And
yes.
What is the fallen state?
Well, I think there's a lot of confusion going on, and I think there's a lot of manipulation going on, and I think that there is a loss of respect and love and understanding humanity at its core, which is that we're all in this together, whether you like it or not. I don't care what color you are. I don't care about what religion you are, how you identify, none of it. We're all on this earth for a reason. So I feel like we're in such a turmoil as humans, and we're very separated, and there's a lot of hate, more hate I think I've seen than I can even remember as a 60-year-old person. So that to me is a fallen state.
Do you believe it's possible to overcome the fallen state?
Yes, I do.
And how?
I think getting back to conversations like we're having and understanding that not everybody is going to be the way you want them to be, and that respect, it deserves respect. And we have to start to learn to have these sort of maybe difficult conversations. And by having – and instead of being so divided, I think there's a lot of divide. If I have to be this way and I have to be this way, and there's none of this sort of middle ground anymore. But I do believe in conversation, and I do believe in talking to people that you might not agree with. And I think we've lost that sort of art of conversation and art of debate.
Do you have perfect peace?
Wow, that's a great question. I don't know about perfect, because I don't think anything, maybe the universe is perfect. But I think for me as a human, I wouldn't call myself perfect, and I'm always working on myself. But I would say I have a lot of peace, for sure.
Do you have perfect peace?
No.
And if you're a Jew, do you believe in God?
Yeah, I believe in the universe, I would say.
And so, if you believe in God, how can you believe in God and not have perfect peace?
That's a great question. So maybe I still have work to do.
Meaning what?
On myself and why I'm not connecting at a perfect space. So I'm in the middle of converting right now to Judaism. I'm not a full Jew. I'm a person who've decided to take that on as my religion. And so right now I'm in the middle of taking, you know, this space to create myself as a Jewish person.
Why did you decide to become a Jew?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I was never very religious, even though I was brought up that way. And I would say that I'm much more kind of spiritual, if that makes sense. So
what does that mean to be spiritual? What does that mean?
More that I wasn't a Christian, a Jew, a Muslim, anything that was more organized religion. I just felt that there's a God, and the God was always the universe to me, and that, you know, things matter and that there's energies. But as I met my wife, and so she's Jewish, and her child, she brought the child into the situation. And so they're Jewish. And I just started going to temple, and I started really just getting into this more spirituality part of Judaism. And it just sucked me in, and I really loved it so much. And we're raising our child Jewish. So he goes to a Jewish school, and, you know, so it's all around me. And I just sort of felt like I wanted to be a part of that.
And so what does it mean to be spiritual?
I think spiritual just means that you're not number one. So I think it takes out the ego on some level, and that, you know, I rely on that more spiritual space to understand and navigate the world.
Do you have anger?
You know, that's an also great question, because I used to be so angry when you wouldn't recognize me. I don't anymore. I don't have anger. You know, anger comes up very rarely for me. You have to really push my buttons. But I worked on my anger a lot, and I really got so much better that I don't consider myself an angry person anymore.
So do you have anger?
Yeah, sure.
And so you've been a Baptist, you're now becoming a Jew, and you still have anger. Why haven't you overcome your anger, period?
Well, I am overcoming it.
But
it
why haven't you already overcome if you gone to another religion?
It takes work. I haven't finished my sort of studying, and I think
what
as
type
I
of
move,
work,
learning how to becoming a Jew is classes and reading and learning and spirituality. So I think through that, that's where my anger is subsiding. So of course I still have anger sometimes, but I wouldn't say that I'm an angry person. Well, so anger being physical.
I'm sorry.
Anger being physical, like sometimes when I would get mad, I would smack, you know, do that. But I don't even feel that way anymore. It's quite fascinating to me.
But you still have it. You just don't act out
it's
a
there.
Lot.
It's there.
And did you know that anger is evil?
Sure. That's why I don't want it.
And so that means that you're of your father, the devil, then?
No, I don't.
Anyone that has anger, anyone that has anger is of their father, the devil.
That's your observation. You're very welcome to that. But
no, but I'm saying anyone, not just you, but anyone that has it. That's why you don't have perfect peace, because you still have the nature of the devil.
Sure. If that's what you want to think, I'm willing to.
Do you want to overcome that?
I don't believe that, but that's okay. You can.
Do you want to overcome it?
Well, I am overcoming it.
Want me to tell you how you can overcome it just like that?
Okay, sure.
You want me to tell you?
Sure.
You got to forgive your mother. Your mother has rebuilt her image.
That's interesting. Okay.
And forgive your father for not being able to protect you from your mother, because he couldn't handle your mother. He ended up marrying his mother because he never forgave his mother. You become attracted to what you hate, and every spirit you get involved with is your mama. If you want perfect peace, you got to forgive your mother and your father for not protecting you from her.
Okay. I don't believe that.
And then you overcome the psychological issues as well, because the problems are in the mind. You don't have a free mind, but if you forgive them, I promise you, you have a free mind. The psychological thing will be cleared up.
But I have forgiven. I don't. There's nothing to forgive. I moved on. I don't blame
you.
My
haven't, though.
For anything.
You went and you gave them little baby talk, but you didn't say, "I was sorry for resenting you guys for what you did to me."
No, you don't know what I said.
You
I
told
said,
me what
I'm
you
sorry
said.
Sorry for acting out. That's what I said to
but
them.
But that's not forgiveness.
But that's your opinion, my friend. That's not the truth. That's
no,
your
you have
truth.
To admit that you're wrong for being angry at them.
But
they
that's
couldn't help
your
themselves.
Opinion. That's
what do you
not
think about that?
But that's I'm just saying I'm listening to you, but I don't agree with you.
Do you know you don't think you have to apologize for being angry at them?
Nope.
Why not?
I already apologized for acting out, which was part of the anger.
But did you apologize for being angry at them? Because anger is judgment.
Probably.
And judgment separates you from God.
Well, I just gave them a whole basic apology that I'm sorry for being this person. I was struggling with things. And never do I want you to think that it was your fault. And you
but
know,
it was
kind of
their
talk.
Fault.
Well, I mean, that's, again, your opinion. It's
but why
not,
didn't you say, "I'm sorry for being angry at you so God can forgive you"?
But that's, I don't really understand the question.
you become like what you hate. And
that's
and
just your opinion.
The moment you become angry, you take
that's
on that.
That's not the truth. That's your opinion.
No, that is the truth. And
no,
that's
it
what
isn't.
All human beings.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. That's okay. Your truth. That's what's your truth and the way you live your life. It's
smoke
not
on it, Bob. Smoke on it.
Sorry?
Think about it.
No, I did. You think about it, too. That's not the way I live my life. You think about that.
So how do you deal with the anger of this woman that you're with when it comes, when the hell comes out of her? How you deal with that?
What anger?
You say you have a wife or something, right?
Yeah, I have a partner, a wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how do you deal with the hell in her when it comes out?
She doesn't have hell. She's probably one of the most grounded, anti-hateful people in the world. If we have an argument about something, could be dishes or maybe, you know, when to take the kid to school, just basic. And the arguments are not what you think they are. They're just like maybe a disagreement about something. And I don't owe her anything. She doesn't owe me anything.
When the anger comes out of her, how do you deal with it?
Well, she's not angry, so that's a really different
question. So when it does come up at times, how do you deal with it?
Oh, I just deal with it. I let it be.
How do you deal with it when it comes up at times?
I just said I just deal with it.
Meaning what? What are the steps?
Well, I just listen. I listen.
Oh, you just listen?
Mm-hmm.
Does it make you angry at times when she does that?
No, it used to, but it doesn't anymore.
Amazing. Do you love white people?
Oh my God, that's a hilarious question. I don't think I can even say, I don't even think about that, to be honest with you. It's like I like white people. I like all people, friend.
Do you love white people?
I never thought about that question before.
Right. So do you love white people?
I love all people. So yeah, I love white people. I love black people. I love Asian people. I love whatever people. So yeah, I guess so.
And do you love white people?
Sure.
You do. Amazing. Do you love the Great White Hope?
What's the Great White Hope?
Right.
God?
No, next to God.
Jesus?
You're getting there.
I don't know.
Donald Trump.
My parents do. You'll love my parents. My parents are Trump or the Great White Hope. Brilliant. You know, the political space is difficult for me. I'm not a Democrat. I used to be a Democrat, by the way, but I'm not anymore. I would say I'm more middle ground.
You mean that you're more conservative Republican now?
No. My parents wish. They're always trying to rope me in there.
And so do you love the Great White Hope?
I wouldn't say I love him. Nope.
Why not?
I think all politicians are scammy, to be honest with you. And I think there's a lot going on there. And I'm not sure he can actually save this country. It's a mess. And I don't even know what we need. So I'm not sure if he's actually the Great White Hope.
He's the Great White Hope.
You think so, really?
Oh, for sure.
Interesting. Why do you think that?
Because he loved the country. He put the country first. It's okay. Not about him, but it's about putting America back to work, closing the border down. Do you think there should be a wall around the borders?
That's a really good question, too. You know, it's difficult because my heart goes out to people who are suffering out there. But at the same time, we've got to take care of our country first. And so is a wall going to stop? Or how else do we do it? We have too much of an influx of people coming into this country. We need to start here and then we can go there. Right. So you got to start at home. That's why you got to work on yourself before you got to work on everybody else.
Putting a wall around the borders?
I'm not really sure if it'll work, I guess.
Do you have a wall around your house?
Actually, I do.
Does it work?
There you go. You got your answer.
And what was the answer?
Yes.
Amazing. Should men play in women's sports?
No. No. I was a female athlete. No. And trans women are not women. They're biological males who want to. They're like me, but they're lying to you when they say they're a woman. They're lying. The whole thing is a scam. It's a lie. It's why I started this with, I'm a biological female. I'll never deny that. That's a real transsexual. But these people are scam artists. They're grifters. They're coming in. They're weirdos. They're doing weird stuff to women's space. I will not tolerate it. It's disgusting.
And should men play, should women play a men's sport?
That's a great question. Now, I know three guys who are like me, who are in male athletics, and nobody cares. Nobody cares about these guys.
And because so they're should not, men play should women play in men's sports?
Well, I think if you're going to say men can't play in women's sports, then you got to say women can't play in men's sports. It's the only, you got to have a level playing field.
Right. And so I'm asking you, should women play in men's sport?
No.
Yeah. And when you think about the fact that women are complaining now that men are playing in their sport, but when you don't let them play in the men's sport, they bitch about it.
I would say the majority of women do not want to play in men's sports, and the majority of women do not want men playing in their sport. So, of course, you're always going to have outliers, always.
So you agree with me then that the women should be banned from men's sport, and the men should be banned from women's sport.
That's right.
Right on.
That's right.
100%. That's amazing, huh?
Well, no, I've always said that. I'm very outspoken. It's why the transgender community hates me.
Did you vote for the Fallen Messiah?
The Fallen Messiah? Who's that?
Barack Obama.
Your questions are awesome. I did. I did. I'm guilty.
Why did you vote for the Fallen Messiah?
Because I was a Democrat.
Do you regret that now?
I would never. No, I'm not voting for Biden either, just so you know.
Nice.
Publicly stating that.
How about Kennedy?
You know, I had my eyes on Kennedy for a while, but I kind of lost my way there a little bit. I'm having a hard time. I'll be honest with you, with politics. I don't trust anybody.
Yeah. And what do you think about Big Mama Michelle?
Big Mama Michelle. I don't know. You know, there's a lot people say about Michelle. I don't really even know, to be honest. I don't, like I said, where are you getting your news from? Because they're lying. Everyone's lying and deceitful, and it's scary. And so things you read, can you actually believe what you're reading now? I can't. So that actually puts me in a weird space.
I agree. Oh, yeah. What's wrong with the blacks?
What's wrong with the blacks?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, as a white person, I don't know if I can answer that because it's not my space and I didn't grow up as a black person. But as a white person standing outside of the arena, I would say that maybe, I don't know, I think there's a lot of levels there. There's a lot of levels there. But I think it's similar to what's going on in the trans community. I do think people speak for everyone. And that's not the situation. You can't lay a blanket statement over what's wrong with the black people.
So have you ever wondered, what's wrong with the black?
No, I haven't. I just haven't. That's just
and
not.
Why not? Since they,
because
not all,
I don't.
Not
I
all, don't, not all, not all. But most of them attacking white people. They're robbing
and stealing. Well, that's the young generation.
And blaming. And you never pause to say, what's wrong with the blacks? We've given them everything they asked for.
But no, I don't look at it that way. I say, what's wrong with that? What's happening there? I see things. Okay. Not necessarily. That's why it's a blanket statement, but I don't like that because there's pockets in there. But what I see is that I think that there's a lot of things going on in the community, such as maybe some desires and people are being self-hating on some level and attacking each other, which they do in the same thing in my community. And so I think it makes and also community. Community is a very weird word to me because what is a community?
That's true, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't really say a lot of black people I know are like you, who are thriving and doing things and are awesome and not, you know, in that and speak about how they want the black you know, community to get back to family first, yeah, and bringing back dads. And I do think that is could possibly be part of.
So you do know what's wrong with the blacks. They need family. Well,
father and family. But then there, half of, you know, there's a lot of black people incarcerated. And that is sad to me. And that is, we need to figure out why that's happening.
I can tell you why.
Why?
They're committing crimes.
But why?
Because they're angry.
Interesting. Okay.
And they're angry at their mothers. They're all angry at their mothers. And instead of forgiving their mothers, they become like their mother and become violent.
Wow. That's really fascinating. I never thought about that.
Every human being, not one, mm-hmm, if they want to be free, they got to forgive their mothers and return to the fathers.
Okay. Okay.
That's why I'm telling you, you got to forgive your mother if you want to be free psychologically.
Okay. I feel free, though. I don't feel...
Oh, you're not free yet, though. When you become free, you're going to know it. Let me ask this. Do you create your own thoughts?
Yes.
You create your own thoughts?
I would say that I do.
And how do you create them?
On the basis of maybe making, like, seeing things and sort of thinking about what that is. And then that's creating my thought process.
And so you create your own thought. Why do you create bad thoughts at times that make you have fear or make you angry at times or make you worry? Why do you create those thoughts if you're in charge of creating your own thoughts?
That's a great question. And I really can't answer it. I don't know, but I will look into that 100%. I think that it's great. You're giving me great things to leave you with and think about, which I love. So I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Well, I want you to realize you don't create your own thoughts. I want you to see it for yourself. You don't create the so-called good ones or the bad ones.
Okay.
Something else is controlling you. But you think it's you, and it's all in the mind and the body. Right. You can't have the feelings unless you have the thoughts.
Great.
And so we get the thoughts, you get so-called good feelings.
Yeah.
If you get good thoughts. And then as soon as you're up here, you get a bad thought. Now you're feeling down.
Sure.
And then you get another good thought. Now you're back up.
That's
right. And then you're back down. And that's why you want to jump off a bridge.
That's right.
Because you're not in control of thoughts.
Great.
And if you go once you see it for yourself and you go and apologize to your parents for being angry at them.
Okay.
Then you're going to have a clear mind. It's going to be amazing.
Great. Right.
But you got to apologize because the guilt is you are angry at them for what they have done. They couldn't help themselves. The lack of patience, you know, whatever.
Sure.
That makes sense?
I agree with that. Sure. Yeah.
That makes sense?
100% it does. Yes.
Amazing. What is a man?
Heck if I know. For real. That was a real answer.
And what is love?
That's a beautiful question. I love it. I mean, I guess love can be a lot of things, but my first thought to you, love is a feeling. That's what I think. That's what is coming to my brain at that point. It's a feeling.
So is it the good feelings or the bad feelings?
Yeah. No, it's a good feeling.
And what are the bad feelings?
With love? I don't think there is.
And so then how can you love somebody one minute and hate them the next minute?
Well, because then it's not love anymore. Then it's hate. So you switch gears. It's like being in drive and then going into reverse. Reverse is hate and love is drive.
If you never needed love from anyone or wanted love from anyone, would you switch from love to hate or would you stay rooted?
No, you wouldn't. Right. You would just be neutral.
Right. Isn't it better to live that way than to want anything from anyone?
Of course. No, that's a great, I love that you said that. Yeah. You know, you're right. You want to definitely be much more neutral because then then those are feelings, right? And those feelings can go from those to those, which aren't always a good thing.
Right.
I see what you're saying.
I have to put it on the hot seat, but I have one more question. Do you agree with me that women will created to lead and not follow. I mean, to follow and not lead. Women were created to follow, and men were created to lead.
Well, that is a very sort of tricky question, to be honest with you. As a person who's female, I wasn't a follower. I was a leader as a female. But to be created, women, what were women created for? Well, I mean, I do think procreation on some level. I mean, men and women were created to create human beings. That's the basic part of humanity. Men and women are created to create other human beings. But I'm not really sure I agree with you if women are not supposed to be in a leading role.
Why do you think that
they are? Maybe because I am that person. And as a female, I never felt that way. I felt like I always wanted to be more in the leader position than the submissive position.
Let's say that you had not gone down the road to took the wide road, right?
Yeah.
And you stayed female. Would you have wanted a man that you could follow, or would you have wanted a man that you could lead?
Well, I probably wouldn't want a man, first off, and I would probably be with a woman. So there's that. right? So, I mean, I can't, but I guess if I was with a man, I would probably want to lead.
Amazing. I got to put you on the hot seat.
Okay.
And so I need you to answer these questions as quickly as possible.
Okay.
The hot seat.
Do we need more white babies?
No. I'm just going to say no. I don't know why I said no, but I said no.
Is the earth flat or round?
Hilarious. Round.
Does a chicken have lips?
No.
Do you have white privilege?
No.
Should people wait until marriage before having sex?
No.
I'm sorry?
No.
Is Joe Biden the worst president you've ever seen?
Yes.
Is it okay for a black man to love the Confederate flag?
Sure.
Is it better to be raised by a single woman? I mean, a single mother or a single father? Is it better to be raised by a single mother or a single father?
Well, I can't really. I can't answer that because I think both are capable. As long as you're a capable person, you can do it.
Is it true that the hell comes through the woman?
Well, I mean, I've seen some hell come through women. So in my experience, maybe.
True or false, sending your children to a public school is child abuse?
Well, that is an excellent question. I'm going to answer that with a sort of middle ground space. Maybe. Depends on the public school you're sending them to.
True or false, if you can huh? You can hear.
If you can haw?
If you can haw, you can hear. True or false?
Okay, I don't even know. I don't know how to answer that, but okay.
Did you have fun?
Right on.
You had fun. Thank you so much, Buck, for coming on. I do appreciate it. Tell the folks how to get to your website or whatever you want to give out there.
Sure. You can follow me on Instagram, Buck Angel. My website is Buck Angel. My YouTube channel is Buck Angel Official if you want to see more stuff about that. And that's pretty Twitter. I'm on X, which I'm pretty combative on there. But other than that, thank you, Jesse. You're really sweet and awesome. And I really do appreciate the questions and really spending time with me and building a bridge between us. So thank you.
I really appreciate you coming on. And don't forget, folks, you can support the Fallen State by going to thefallenstate.tv/donate and locals.com and in the description there. Check out our merch and support, follow, ring the bell, and all those good things. Thank you all for tuning in. Let me hear from you. I do appreciate it. Thank you again, Buck. That was fun.
Thank you, friend.
Okay. Bye now.